the Lord. If you bring me up, that'd be wonderful. Everybody said amen? Amen. Praise God. You can bring the lights up if you will. I just was doing a quick check. Boy, wow, I was wondering if I was visiting or a guest at a different church. It was so quiet. I don't know what church I'm in right now. If y'all don't mind, I need to just do a BCC check. Are you with me? I mean, come, is somebody up in here with BCC? Come on, give the Lord. Come on, let's thank God for who he is in Jesus' name. Glory to God. And everybody said amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you will, I'm going to ask that you would get your Bibles. Those that have light up Bibles, I'm going to ask that you go ahead and pull it out, if you will. And for those Bibles that light up, that's wonderful. But then also, if you have one of those Bibles that when you turn it, it makes a little crinkly noise, you can pull that out as well. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful summer. What a wonderful Sunday. And I am excited. And I will let you know why in just a moment. But how do you know, first of all, we were created to connect. Praise God. We were created to what? We were created to connect. Thanks be to God. For us to be able to begin and rightfully put this particular Sunday in the events that occurred through our Lord and Savior Jesus, we rightfully know this to be Palm Sunday, or this to begin the what we call Passion Week. And as you can see, not only by the picture, but as displayed by our wonderful those that are in our decor team and just always tries to make something purposeful and meaningful. How many understand it's beautiful because this is Palm Sunday and everybody said amen. Amen. What happened on Palm Sunday is that Jesus rides in on a colt, or a donkey, and he comes in through, as Peter so beautifully shared with the opening scripture, and he was in the center. But here it is, Jesus coming down, and it's called Palm Sunday because all of the people gathered tree limbs and things from the trees, but then some used their own clothes to throw out, as it were, the procession, because that's what you would do to royalty when he comes down the lane. So they thought, even as was mentioned earlier, that Jesus was coming as the king of what they thought. But how many know Jesus, he different? I'm going to say that again. Jesus different. Does anybody have any teens in their house at all? My God, I said, Jesus, he different. Are you with Jesus? He different. Say that with me. He different, right? Jesus, he different. And so as a result of that, Jesus, he comes down the corridor as they began to cheer. And they began to say many different things. Children say things. But overall, a swelling thought takes place called Hosanna. They say Hosanna. Say Hosanna. Hosanna, and the word Hosanna means save now. So something phenomenal that Jesus was about to go through in Passion Week that was going to be able to open up this proclamation of Hosanna so that the whole world could be saved right now by what he was going to go through the crucifixion of the death, burial, and resurrection. And as a result, they began to sing it out, cheer it out, praise it out, Hosanna. They began to say what?
Hosanna.
Hosanna. Look at this verse. It says, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And everybody said amen. Amen. So we rightfully want to place this as being the Sunday that prepares us for next Sunday, which is Resurrection Sunday. And everybody said amen. Amen. I've got seven words. Come on, let's take some notes if you don't mind. I've got seven words that I would like you to know. Seven words. A couple of them are phrases, but we call those words as well, words from God. There are several words, seven words I want you to know. I want you to write them down because they become very meaningful to the intent of what God wants to do in your life, in my life, and in everyone else's life. The first word is purpose. Say that with me.
Purpose.
Come on, everyone. Doesn't matter your age. Doesn't matter how far back you're sitting. Doesn't matter how close you are. Let's say them together. What's this word here?
Purpose.
Say them online as well. Purpose. The next word I want you to know is the word born. Everybody say born.
Born.
What's the first word?
Purpose.
What's the second word?
Born.
Third word is options. The third word is options. Somebody say options. Turn to your neighbor and say options. I want to deal with that third word a little bit. I think it's going to shake some people up in here. I think it's going to shake some people up online and some people on YouTube. Are you with me? Say options. I might be wrong. I might have saw their wife turn to their husband and say it in his ear. Hey, hey, hey. Options. I don't know what this sermon's about. Options. Are you with me? Here's the fourth word. The word is what? We want to make sure we gain understanding. I believe we will to this word. Say, follow me. The next word I want you to get is leave all. Come on, say that. In unison. I couldn't hear you online. Everybody say it. Glory to God. And I want you to see this sixth word. Write it down, if you will. The word is called. The word is what? I don't know how to say this to you enough, but I shared with you last week that I am overly excited. I mean enthusiastic, energetic. I mean on the top of ready to release and loose this word. We had such a good time in first service. I have every reason to believe that we're warmed up and we can have a better time on this service. Are you with me? Say called. And the very last word, number seven, is committed. Everybody say committed. These seven words are the words I want you to know. And because you have them written down, now you've been given an instruction. Every time we see or relate to this word, you want to make sure you're highlighting it. Get it imprinted in your heart. I have every reason to believe that if you can gain an understanding of these seven words, you could potentially see your life transform and change into a dream come true. I said, if you could get a hold of these seven words, there is great potential that your dissatisfaction or your unfulfillment has a potential and probability to become more than satisfied, to be able to live abundantly, and for you to be fulfilled. I don't care where you are, what you're doing, what your age is, because this is not going to contain you. If you get these seven words, you are looking for something good in your life. Somebody say amen. Whoa! Glory to God. We are in the midst of preaching and teaching. Jesus explicitly practiced what he preached. Jesus practiced what he preached. To do what? Practice what he preached. One more time. What he preached. Thank you so much for participating. Today, this is the most important thing that I want to make relevant to you, is that because if you practice what he preached, Gabriella, you will begin to see yourself do these things that I like to say this young man did. I have reason to believe if you practice what Jesus preached, you will rise. You will rise up from whatever situation you're in. You will rise up from what you're stuck in. You'll rise up from an attitude that may not be great for you. You may rise up from not making options and decisions that are healthy about you. You'll rise up if you practice what he preached. And if you rise up, you'll elevate. Then you'll what? And if you elevate, you will be fulfilled. This young man, I like to say, he must have heard something about what Jesus preached, and he rose up. He began to ascend these steps. He elevated, and he's on his way to fulfillment. But if you, too, practice what Jesus preached, you, too, will rise up from your situation. You will find yourself doing what? Elevating, and you will be fulfilled. Somebody say amen. And I will out-treat you today. Are you with me? Three people laughed. All right. Look at this. Jesus preached purpose. Jesus preached what?
Purpose.
Glory to God. Jesus preached purpose. Luke chapter 4, verses 43 to 44. Father, we pray because your word says you resist the proud, but you give more and more of your grace to the humble. So we clothe ourselves in humility. And I pray, Jesus, that you give us ears to hear what your Spirit says to the church. Use scriptures. Use illustrations. Use notes for the lives that are hungry, whose appetites are ready. And they want to experience what you intended their life to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
Look at Luke 4, 43 to 44. The Bible says, but he said to them, I must preach the gospel, good news of the kingdom of God, to the other towns as well. For I was sent for this purpose. In the yellow, it says, Jesus says, for I was sent for this purpose. And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. And everybody said, amen. I love these two small verses because verse 44 is the last verse of chapter 4. And what's significant about this is that I like it how the verses, these two verses, is purposely placed there to see that it's fulfilled. Can I show you what I mean? Look at this. It says, and he was preaching. And he was what? Well, look at the yellow part. For I was sent for this what? I was sent for this what? Therefore, Jesus says, I was sent for this purpose. What purpose? That I must preach the gospel, good news of the kingdom of God. The point here is that he says, look, I must preach this gospel of the good news of the kingdom of God. That's my purpose. One of my purposes is to preach this. Therefore, the next verse says, I'm preaching the gospel. Are you with me? It says, I'm preaching in the synagogues of Judea. All I'm trying to get you to understand that the scripture is making it very plain to us that not only did he say his purpose was to do it, the next verse says he was doing it. It's not enough just to have a purpose. How many know you also have to be fulfilling it? It's not enough just to have a purpose or to know a purpose or to receive a prayer or a promise, but you also have to be actively fulfilling it. Glory to God. I'll go further to say, turn your Bibles to John chapter 12, if you will. John chapter 12. Thank you, Jesus. John chapter 12. And those with lit Bibles, today I am predominantly in the ESV, except for the ones that will be on the screen. But the ones I'll read and have us read together, I find that the English Standard Version is going to be the one that I would use today. And so I want to read verses 23. Starting there, it says this, and Jesus answered them, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. Everybody see that? Does everybody see that? But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life, whoever loves his life loses it. And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must what? Follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Does everybody see that in their scriptures? Can we go back and capture this before we read verse 27? I want us to show something because just for the sake of time, I can't build a whole lot of elasticity to point to go from one point to the other and draw the lines, but the scriptures do it for us. Look what Jesus is doing. Red letter edition, Jesus is preaching purpose. Jesus is preaching what? Look what I said. And Jesus answered them, this hour has come to the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly I say to you, unless a grain, now watch this point, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Stop, pick up your head. Did everybody see this? How many know that we live in Iowa, we should have some understanding of this? All it's trying to get us to understand is that when you put a grain in the ground, unless it goes into the ground and dies, unless it what? It will remain by itself. Josh, it will remain by itself. But if you put it in the ground and it begins to germinate and it then begins to die, it will bring forth much more what? This is of vital importance because you've got to see what the next verse says. Notice what the next verse says. Whoever loves his life loses it. Did you catch that? That means you wouldn't be put in the ground because you don't want to lose what you have. Everybody got that? But if you want to lose what you have, if you're willing to lose what you have, then you can have life and it more eternal. In other words, God is trying to teach us. Jesus is literally preaching what purpose is like. Then he goes on to say, you can't make it more clear. If anyone serves me, he must what? Follow me. Don't forget, this is one of our seven phrases, right? Follow me. Say, follow me. So we know he's teaching purpose, and he says, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Jesus is teaching, so therefore, wherever I am, my servant will be also. And I want you to understand what Jesus is preaching about purpose in his life, and if we hang out with Jesus, we'll learn the purpose in our life. Hallelujah. And then it says, if anyone serves me, the Father will honor him as well. Somebody say amen. Now are you ready for verse 27? Look what it says. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I have come to this hour. He says, for this purpose. Some scriptures say, for this cause. Some scriptures of translation says, for this reason. For this purpose, for this reason, for this cause. Jesus is saying, look, for this purpose, I have come to this hour that I'm going to fulfill what I just preached. I'm going to go ahead and take my life and put it in this earth, and I will die. But that's okay that I'm going to die, because I know my Father will raise me back up again. And when I come back to life again, I'm going to bring forth much more fruit, so that everyone that can be saved, it opens up that we all can have life. We all can live in purpose, and our purpose will set ablaze to other people's purposes. Why, if I die, I will bring forth much fruit in the earth. God have mercy that Jesus says, I will do it, therefore we can do it. Somebody say amen. Glory to God. Jesus says, for this purpose. For this what? For this what? Hallelujah. So let's look at what this says. Everybody go to John 18. Just one verse. Go ahead and turn there if you're online, if you will. John 18, you don't want to miss this. One verse today. Verse 37. Bible says, ESV, you got to catch it out, the ESV. It's good in all these translations, but watch what the wording is in ESV. It says this, then Pilate said to him, so you're a king? Jesus answered, you say I am a king. For this purpose I was born. And for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Somebody say amen. Amen. This is powerful. Can I give a little context to this passage of scripture? You understand that during this particular time in John 18, it is very good that we're in the midst of beginning the Passion Week. But for those who like to study things out, this chapter is right now when this scripture is going on, where he's conversing with Pilate. This is like the fourth trial. He goes through many trials. Jesus goes through many trials for his crucifixion. And this is like the fourth trial. And this is approximately Friday at the time of dawn. We know it's before 9 a.m., but it's about the time of dawn, either before it or just at it, that he has this conversation with the crowd and with Pilate. So here it is, while we're in the midst of Passion Week, we can think about Good Friday. We can think about this is what Jesus went through. And when he's right here at the end, he says, for this purpose was I born. And for this purpose have I come into the world. Think about this. This is near the time where he's about to sacrifice all of his life. And he says, look, it's for this purpose. You better learn something about purpose. Purpose will take you all the way through. Purpose trumps over everything else that's going on in your life. Every difficulty, every hardship. When you know your purpose, you've got an enduring power that you know the Father is with you, and the Father will bring you out of it. He says, it's for this purpose that I've come into the world. It's for God's purpose that Jesus was sent into the earth. And what about you? Can you say, you might as well let you tell the title, for this purpose I was born. Yeah. Glory to God. Come on, you need that. This is the place where we meditate. Come on. This is the place where we get and deal with you. Jesus says, for this purpose I was born. Say that with me. For this purpose I was born. One more time. For this purpose I was born. Now I want to hit you with the question. Jesus says this as he grows into the perfection of his purpose. But I want to ask you a question. Can you say this? I got one. The rest of y'all just as quiet as you've been the rest of the time. The question is, can you say what Jesus said? I'm really trying to ask you a question. Can you say, for this purpose, I was born? I'm not talking about aspirational. This is what I hope for. I'm not talking about goals. No, I'm talking about for this purpose. Take my life, if you will, but it's for this purpose. I know why I'm here. Come on, somebody. Somebody say amen. Let me make sure you understand when I say born. Say born. You see, it's not enough to just go to work, pay bills, eat, and go to sleep, and do it again. Work, pay bills, eat, sleep, and then maybe every now and then kiss a spouse and a child or a 2.5, because you know it's 2.5 average, 2.5 average sometime, and think that is fine. It's not enough just to attain wealth. I'm talking to somebody. One of the women of God, a very, very wealthy woman of God, says, it's not enough to just gain material things. It's not enough just to have 4 or 5 weeks of vacation with your work package. I want you to understand that will never satisfy you, because there are people that are rich that are unsatisfied. There are people that genuinely have a wife, have a husband, but not satisfied. There are people that have large homes, all cars, got a 401k, but they're not content. You see, purpose is what fulfills your life. Somebody say amen. But until you have fulfilled, look, but until you have fulfilled why you were born, which also exceeds when you were born. Why? Because age does only speak of stage, but not too late. Somebody that's old ought to say amen. In other words, age doesn't mean it's too late. If you still breathing, the Bible says, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. That means he still got work for me. Somebody, amen. All I'm trying to get you to see, it's not too late, because everything is beautiful in its time. I said everything is beautiful in its time, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. All I'm trying to get you to understand that all these things might change. Somebody say all these things. Might change. Here's a question I want to ask. Depending on when we were born in time, when did we start milking almonds? Can somebody please tell me, when did we start having almond farms? Are you with me? My God, we live in a time that is just radical. We live in a time where we're milking almonds. And you know what? Signs of the times are changing so rapidly that when some of us grew up, the Amazon used to be the largest tropical rainforest, scanning the north part of South America in 8 countries and formed by biodiversity. I did not know Amazon is now some corporation. Somebody say amen. You ask a millennial, you ask a Generation Z, they say, they deliver packages to me every day. I mean, my God, Amazon, all these things are changing. But one thing does not change. Our God does not change. He says, I change not, and his son is the same. Jesus Christ, yesterday, today, and forevermore. I can count on Jesus in every generation. I can count on Jesus to let me know my purpose no matter when I was born. Give the Lord a praise offering. Therefore, we have this subtitle. Say called and committed. Come on, come on, you all. Reach in here. For this purpose, I was born. I want to talk about called and what? Committed. You got 4 of the words of the 7 right there. Purpose, born, called, committed. Somebody say amen. Amen. I'm going to say this to you. I know somebody online. I may know somebody that's in this room. All you're trying to do is to survive until the next paycheck. I know all you're trying to do is survive to make it to the end of the week. You are just looking for the next vacation. You just hoping that maybe somebody give you a call. But I want you to understand that's not living. That's not abundant. That's not satisfaction. That's definitely not purpose. That's not living in a divine destiny. That's just trying to get by after a while, by and by, and hoping and praying. No, Jesus gave us life. And his life that he gave us, part of it is that we want to be in purpose. I want to know why I'm here. Somebody say amen. I hope I'm causing you to get stirred up at least a little bit. I'm going to read these scriptures real fast. Look, Jesus preached, follow me. Jesus preached what? Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 to 22. One day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. I want you to understand this. They had their own fishing business. These were not hired hands. They had their own boats, their own nets. They had their own business. Go back and study. You understand, don't you, Dad? They had their own business. In other words, they had loot. They had wealth. They had houses. They lived well. But it says, and they were fished for a living. Jesus called out to them. Jesus did what? He called out to them. Come what? Follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. The Passion Translation says it this way. I will transform you into men who catch people for God. And they left their nets at once and followed him. They left their nets at what? And followed him. Here's what I want you to make sure you understand, because you might think that this message has to deal with becoming a pastor, a preacher, a teacher, an evangelist, an apostle or something. That's not what this is about at all. This is about becoming a better school teacher. This is about becoming a better woman of God in administration. This is becoming a better manager at a corporation. This is about learning how to rise up in the company I am. This is about raising your children and working part-time as an artist. This is about not only running track, but starting up your nonprofit. This is about running and opening up another house in a company that I work for. This is about going in Story City and working as an accountant up in the management of a corporation up there, or being a senior lecturer. My God, God is not concerned about you being a pastor. God's concerned about you knowing what your purpose is, so that one day you'll be able to say, it's for this purpose I was born. It's for this purpose that I came into the earth. I know who I am. I know whose I am. And he made me who I am, so I can fulfill what he made me to be. I want to learn what my purpose is. There is nothing greater in life than knowing your purpose. Hallelujah. My God. I've said it. I've preached it, teached it. I've yelled it. I've screamed it. I've spitted it. Adam had purpose before he ever needed to be saved. Glory to God. Look at what the scripture says. A little farther up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father, Zebedee, repairing their nets. Two men owning their own business, James and John. And he called them to come too. They immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. I know what some of y'all be thinking. Well, I like mama. I like daddy. I love them. But no, we have to understand that God wants you to live in your purpose. God wants you to live in your what? Come on, don't be distracted. We're trying to affect you. This is not limited to age or stage. I always talked about it. I sent this to Sister Justine's mom just the other day, an article about the woman of God took two credit cards at 59 years of age, started a company in St. Louis, and when she started the company, Monsanto and all other companies around the world partnered with her, and they made a $1 million facility to raise up children, over 100 and some odd children that was homeless, that were orphans, and they had a place to stay, all because a woman had a dream and she said, I'll do it for God and I'll do it for the children. It's time for us to know what we were born for. Glory to God. Look at this. Luke chapter 5, verse 26 to 32. and amazement seized them all, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, "We have seen extraordinary things today." After this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at a tax booth. Wait, he had a job. He had a what? He already was working. You'll see what I mean in just a minute. And he said, Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Jesus said what? And leaving everything, leaving what? He rose and did what? He rose and followed him. Who am I speaking with? Who am I pricking? Who is God speaking and whispering something to you? And you might be still back on the first verse. I don't know. But we're trying to get you to understand, for this purpose I was born. For this what? I was what? Look at what it says. And Levi made him a great feast in his house, and there was a large company of tax collectors and other reclining at table with them. And the Pharisees and their scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" They put it in the New Living Translation as scum. This is how the religious people looked at people, scum. I'm not one of those. I'm so thankful BCC is not one of those. I'm so grateful we're not religious and have a religious spirit. Are you with me? Judging people and putting them down. But he says, and Jesus answered them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And everybody said, amen. One of the articles that I talked about, I didn't go over all of it, but Anna Maria, as I talked about her devotion, it shared something about one of these verses. And it just ended with this. Isn't it in awe and amazement who God chooses to place in purpose? Somebody say amen. Isn't it amazing who God chooses? I mean, God chose people you would not expect and caused them to do great things. You don't have to worry if God's going to choose you or not because you've qualified or disqualified. God does not look for those that are qualified. He qualified those that are willing. God is just looking for a willing heart. God is looking for those that say, "God, choose me." If you say, "Choose me," God will choose you because he's more after your heart than what you're able to do. He's going to do it through you anyway. So all you've got to say is say yes to God. When you begin to say yes to God, you're on your way to your purpose, not based on what you can or cannot do. It's based on what he can do through you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When you look at this, I want you to understand with swiftness, when we talk about purpose, purpose is the culmination. Purpose is the what? Purpose is the culmination. Purpose is what? Look that word up, if you will, culmination. That word culmination means pinnacle. That culmination means the top. It means the apex. It means it's at the highest point. So I am saying with you, purpose is the culmination of bringing everything together in your life, because God has set you on a culmination, set you on a pinnacle, set you at a peak, because purpose is that. I say this because of this reason. I talked about it in Genesis. Let's talk about it in the New Testament. I say purpose is second most important. Did you notice I said second? The reason is because the Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you." Come on up if you would, Lance. Listen, born, everybody say born. Born. Born, born, write the question down. Why was I born? Why was I born? I hope it doesn't have to get this quiet in here before you're contemplating these questions. Why were you born? Listen, were you born just because you're trying to make money? You're just trying to make it big? You're just trying to live large? They even named the television show Living Large. How many know that begins to run out? That begins to empty out? How many know that becomes to be dissatisfying when all you're trying to do is make it big and make a dollar? How many know you begin to run out? I'm going to give you some more words. Everybody say options. Uh-oh. Say uh-oh. See, I told you I was waiting on this one. Abby, I've been waiting on this one. Mason, I've been waiting on this one. Say options. This does not confine itself to millennials, though I have millennials up there, because I find this to be in all generations, but it's more popular in millennials as well as in Generation Z. Can I tell you what it is? Say millennials. It's not just, I know 75-year-olds that deal with this subject. Are you with me? Here's something I want to share with you about options. Uh-oh. Options. Research has been done by a professor, and I want you to make sure you get this because this is worth it all. It is said that millennials, they want to live a life that's fully meaningful. It says that millennials want to live a life that's totally fulfilling. that they want to live a life that has richness to it and has a lot of meaning and it has the full scope of everything you want in life. Are you with me? But you know what's that? They say, but they want to leave options open. You say, well, what's wrong with that, Pastor? Glad you asked. You see, in reality, you can never live in total fulfillment without closing off some options. You see, you can never just say, oh, this is the greatest love that I've ever experienced, but I'm leaving a few other people open to just go back to. Somebody said, wow, over here. Got one good mother nod over here. Can I get one over here, Jeff? I don't know. Millennials is like this. I ain't trying to hear that. Because you're trying to leave options. You see, you can't leave options because anybody that really wants to enjoy everything that God has for them, you can't leave some things open. You can't leave your past open. You can't leave more options open that you can go back to. You got to say, I'm in this. Unless the grain falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it hits the ground and germinates, then it'll bring forth much more fruit. You'll have an enjoyable life and it more abundantly. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Man. Wow, Pastor. That was deep. Thank you, man of God. You dress like a millennial, but I don't know if you're as old as a millennial. All I'm saying is that Jesus wants us to give up our life for his life. For his what? Because then you'll enjoy life. Say, follow me. I have a big M and a little M. When I say a big M and a little M, it's because Jesus was living on purpose. Jesus was living on what? And if I follow him, then I'll enter into my purpose. If I'm following the one that is on purpose and the one who created me, then he will show me why he created me and what my purpose is, because he made me to fulfill something. So if I follow him, then I'm going to learn my own purpose. Somebody say amen. Amen. It doesn't matter what your age is. Say leave it. Say leave it all.
Leave it all.
Listen, if you leave it all, you'll be able to have everything you want. Everybody say called.
Called.
Called is based on hearing and running. Called is based on hearing. When you hear it, then you're what?
Right.
If you hear it, then you're what?
Right.
And the last thing is commitment. Say commitment. If you understand by the end of this message what commitment is, commitment is all about fulfillment. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Our last passage of scripture. Can I get you to go? You don't want to miss these verses. 1 Kings 19. Four little verses, but you don't want to miss this story. 1 Kings 19. So thankful that you're with us today. Thankful that you're listening. Thankful that you're learning. I'm having a good time. I hope you are. Look at this. 1 Kings 19, ESV, starting at verse 19, it says this. So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing. Who was what? With 12 yoke of oxen in front of him. And he was with the 12th. There was 12 yokes, 12 teams, 24 different oxen. I want to stop right there because I want to share some with you. I know just a couple of weeks ago, I preached about unicorn. Are you with me? And it's very important. I debated with God a lot about this. I said, God, I don't want to confuse the people. I mean, understand, oxen in the scriptures, we're using them as symbols and metaphors. Are you with me? But that message is not the same oxen here. Everybody with me? So I don't need you to be thinking about that oxen or what's going to happen to these oxen. Are you with me? All right. It says, and Elijah passed by him and cast his cloak. That word means mantle. He cast his cloak upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. And he said to them, go back again. For what have I done to you? And he returned from following him and took the yoke of oxen and sacrificed them and boiled their flesh with the yokes of the oxen and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and went after Elijah and assisted him. And everybody said amen. Come on, everybody said amen.
Amen.
Come on, we're towards the end, if you will. Come here, if you will, right now. Clea, I need you, if you don't mind. I need you right up here, if you don't mind. Yes, sir. Thank you for volunteering. I appreciate it. Jeff, thank you for, oh, nope, you're with the baby. That's okay. Mason, thank you so much. Don't hide, Mason. You know I saw you behind there anyway. Can I get your help over there, man of God? Thank you so much. Listen, this is a yoke. Everybody say yoke. This is a yoke, if you will, right? So if you don't mind, we're going to call this a yoke. Everybody with me? This is a yoke. And when you hear God's voice, I'm going to demonstrate what that looks like. If you would, I'm going to have you face that way, man of God. If you don't mind, you're going to be a nice muscle, if I can get you up there, nice muscle oxen. Y'all bend over a little bit, if you don't mind. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. A little bit further, y'all. You know, thank you very much. All right. So this is the yoke, and they are oxen. Are you with me? I'm going to go ahead and be Elisha, if I can. And we're going to have you, Mr. Lance, be Elijah. Notice what happens here. What happens is you've got the yoke and you've got the oxen. Here's something that's important about having 12 teams of them. These people are wealthy. They've got loot. They've got money. They have it set. And all he has to do is inherit it. They've got land. But how many understand you can have all of that and still not know your purpose? Therefore, in the midst of the situation, all of a sudden, he says, I'm going to be Elisha. Elisha's out there plowing. Y'all move forward a little bit. He's out there plowing with him. All right, slow down a little bit. All right, and all of a sudden, Elijah comes walking past. Throw that on me, if you will. Keep walking. Now, slow down. Nope. Not the oxen. Thank you. Stop right there. The mantle or the cloak symbolically means a call. It means a what? Theologians and scholars says when he threw it on him, that means that this was a what? A call. So we've got to learn how to hear God's voice and to know our what? When we know our calling, the mantle discern here. Now keep on going, Lance. The Bible says he ran and stopped him. Everybody say amen. When you hear the call, don't just wait. The Bible says that the disciples dropped what they were doing and went after Jesus. He runs to the man of God and says, hey, master, what would you have me to do? Elijah says to him, what I have to do with you? Can I share with you what that's about? You know what some of us have difficulty for in purpose? We can't handle rejection. Some of us can't handle to hear no, because some of us think we earned it. I'm going to say we've been working so hard. Some of us have all the right grades. Do you know what degree I got? Do you know how much I work, how many hours I spend? Do you know that I read all the books? Do you know that I went, you see, Elisha had went to the school of the prophets, and now that the call was on him, he says, I'm ready to start. Here's a important point. How many of you know just because it's our time does not mean it's God's time? Man, that was a good word. Just because we think it's my time does not mean it's what? Somebody say amen. But what I want you to know is, he says, you just go back. So he went back. And I want to talk about, go ahead, you go. Nope. You also are a good oxen, amen. Can I share something with you? All of the disciples and Elisha, they were already, write that note down, they were already doing something in their life before their purpose came. You see, some of us are just sitting back waiting for purpose to find us. None of these biblical examples came while somebody was just sitting by the way waiting on it. It was everybody that was working. Levi was at his tax booth. The four fishermen were cleaning their nets and coming from fishing all night or fishing in their business. Now Elijah's at his home doing what he's supposed to do with his family. And here he is. And then the call of God comes on his life. And everybody said amen. Are you ready for this as we speed the message along? We're almost done with y'all leaning over like that. Thank you, gentlemen. Y'all can stand up. Just stay right there, though. Look at these notes. I know that's right. I try to pick good athletes. Amen. How did Elisha respond to purpose and calling? Look at this real quickly. Scholars and theologians speak of this story as the closest to Jesus is calling his disciples to follow him. In other words, this story is just how Jesus came and called his disciples. Somebody say amen. Come on, that's good teaching. Look at this. They were already active doing something prominent in their lives. I'm speaking to the one that feel like they're in quicksand, like they're stuck, like they don't know what to do next. You ought to put your hands to something and work anything and everything that you have in front of you. Do your best. I don't care if you're door dashing. I don't care if you're in a class at DMAC. I don't care if you're trying to get your GED. I don't care if you're working on your trade school. I don't care if you put out a dozen resumes. Do something. Be active when you know God will come looking for you to fulfill your purpose. Somebody say amen. Look at this. Run means hope. Run means what? Man, I wish I could stay here all day. When this is how we live, how you doing? I'm all right. Did you get a word today? No, I didn't know those scriptures. We have got to live that Jesus is the hope. It's not based on your hope. It's based on who he made you to be. God is not too late at coming to you. God is not too late to fulfill a promise. God is right on time. Keep your plowing. Keep your fishing. Keep your tax collecting. Whatever God has you to do, keep doing it until you hear the call. And when you hear the call, look at this. How do you know purpose? Say purpose. Three things to help find and define your purpose. Number one, look at how simple this is. Are you simply good at it? Are you simply good at it? Number two, do you have a passion for it? Number three, is it for God's glory and his people? And when you have two or three, it leads to purpose and God is on the way. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. It means that if you have those and you get all three, you know that your purpose and your call is about to be fulfilled. Somebody say amen. So this is what happens, and I don't want you to miss this. Everybody say committed. Committed. Everybody say committed. Committed. He has the mantle on. But what happens is he takes the yoke. He takes the harness. He takes the carriage of all of the oxen and beat them. Come on now, this is creative. He builds a fire with the things that was once used to plow. And then he takes the oxen and he boils them that they might become cooked. Not the same as the unicorn. But as a result of that, this is where we need to know what commitment is. He burns the plows and cooks the oxen because some of us need to learn how to burn some bridges in our lives that we will not go back to the things we used to do or the things we used to be. You see, when he burned the oxen, when he boiled the oxen and burned those carriages, he says, you know what? I'm cutting off my options. I'm not going back to what I used to do. I have a brand new call, and I'm going to live in my purpose. For this reason, I have been born. And that's what many of us need to learn how to do, is to burn the bridges behind us so that the only option is to go forward. Give the Lord a praise offering. Turn to your neighbor and say, no more options. Be committed. Somebody say amen. Thank God for the men of God, if you will, as we finish. The eighth thing I wanted to tell you was completed. Everybody say completed. Elijah asked for the double portion. He asked for Elijah, I want the double portion. God fulfilled his will. Look at what it says. Because purpose succeeds even death. Purpose succeeds even death. Why? 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 21. Once as the Israelites were burying a man, suddenly they saw a band of raiders. And so they threw the man's body into Elisha's tomb. And as soon as his body touched the bones of Elisha, the man was revived and stood up on his feet. Can I tell you something? Elijah performed 8 miracles, but Elisha performed 16. Elisha performed 16 miracles. He fulfilled double of Elijah. But this happens to be number 16. Why is this so valuable? Why is this so important? Because it was never about Elisha in the first place. And it's never about us in the first place. It was all about God. And God caused a miracle because he was faithful to fulfill the purpose in his life. When he took on the mantle, it was the call. When he burned the harness and cooked the oxen, he said, I'm going to live for you, God. And therefore, God was faithful to fulfill and complete his purpose. And God will do the same for you. And he'll do the same for me. He did it even though he was dead. Why? Because even though you're dead, God can still fulfill it. Why? Because purpose proceeds and goes before even time. When you die, God keeps on doing it. We need to leave a legacy in the earth. We need to leave a purpose in the earth. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. Change your mind. Change your life. Change your mind. Change your life. Change your mind. You'll change your life. To repent and to renew your mind. I want you to see this statement here. Sometimes you need to burn bridges to stop yourself from crossing them again. Somebody could say amen. Can I tell you why this is so vital? How many of you know that there are some things you don't need to go back to? How many know there's some things in your past that you don't ever want to go back to? How many know there are some things you said, I'll never do that again? I want you to know this. This guy who wrote this, Toby, I never knew this. Brother JP, you might know this. Toby McKehan. I was like, who is this? I had to look him up. Do you know who this is? Toby Mack. That's his last name. Toby Mack, the Christian hip-hop artist. He said this statement. Sometimes you need to burn bridges to stop yourself from crossing them again. Somebody say amen. Can I tell you one last example? When the children of Israel was delivered out of Egypt, the Bible says that they crossed over into freedom on dry ground. And when they crossed over on dry ground, we all believe and teach that we know that the Egyptians tried to follow them and the water collapsed on them and they drowned. Are you with me? But one of the things we don't realize is this. Perhaps that it was not only that they would not see their enemies no more, but God removed the bridge that they would never go back into Egypt again. God delivered them out on a bridge, but then God took away that bridge so that when they get tempted, they would never go back into Egypt again. God needs to burn up some bridges in our lives that we never go back to the way we used to be. Never go back to who we used to do, what we used to do. Why? Because when you get a purpose, for this purpose was I born. I'm now called and I'm now committed. And everybody in God's house gave a praise offering. Glory to Jesus. As we pray, I want you to think about this. Change your mind. Change your life. For this purpose, I am born. Here are 3 things I want to know if you need to respond to. I want to hear his call in my life. I want to receive his mantle. I want to follow Jesus. Let's pray. Every eye closed. Every heart open. Every mind, choose to be willing. If you're here right now at the age of anywhere from 19 to 29. Not because that makes them more special or not, but that's just who I believe I was supposed to pray with. But if you're here and you're between 19 and 29, I want to pray right now for you to define and find your purpose, that you might be able to know at an early age, it's for this purpose that I've been born. I'm not seeking, I'm not searching, I'm not stumbling through life. I'm on a mission that God's given me. If that's you today, if you're here between 19 and 29, can I just have you elevate your hands up with me, please, if you don't mind. Everyone that's between 19 and 29. And for all of us who are 30 and above, can I get you to find someone whose hand is up? Leave your hand up if you don't mind. If you're 30 or above, can I get you to find someone whose hand is up and that you stretch forth your hand to them? If they're near you, just go ahead and ask them, can you put your hand on their shoulder and pray as I pray? If you're at home right now, even if you're watching by yourself, could you lay your own hand? It's not going to be a very long prayer, but we're just going to release blessing over you. Everyone that's 19 to 29, just lift up your hand. I need to hear God's voice. I need to follow Jesus. I need to receive the mantle to know my call. I want to know, for what purpose was I born? Why am I here? Let's pray. Father, you praying along with me, those that are laying hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, in accordance to this word that has been shared, and Father, in accordance to these scriptures which are truth, which Jesus, you are truth. Truth is not a philosophy, but Jesus, you are the truth. Truth is a person. You said in John 14 and 6, no man comes to the Father who is God except by me, for I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus, right now, while we're laying hands and stretching hands over those that's right now should be entering into the prime days of their lives, where their discovery is wide open, where they're trying to negotiate of what's next in my life and what relationship should I stay in and what job should I apply for and what will happen after graduation. God, I ask for your ordaining of your spirit in this place, Jesus, and all across those online, and do what only you can do, God. Cast your mantle upon those that seek to know purpose today. It's in Jesus' name we pray that you are faithful to fulfill that which you started. And it's in the name of your Son, Yeshua, Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a big shout. Let's give the Lord a big shout. Come on, let's give the Lord a big glory. Father, not leaving from your presence, but leaving from this service, we thank you for the unadulterated word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We're dismissed.